today on Living on Every Word.
You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. In other words, you have this power. The question is, why aren't you using it? You're not using it, you're denying the power of God to do the very things that God has called us to do.
One of the most misunderstood thoughts of Scripture is this one of power. What kind of power has God given us, and what has He empowered us to do? In today's study, Pastor Mike Fritcher shares with us how we can access this power and what happens when we deny it in this study called Accessing the Power of God.
Living on Every Word.
If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to Acts chapter 1. I had a conversation with a friend over the last couple of weeks, and we were kind of thinking about and talking about and even lamenting the fact that there's so many people who begin the Christian life, begin the walk, and they just seem to fall away. And we were asking the question, why do we do that? Why do we not move on to the next level, to the depth that God wants us to have with Him? What are the obstacles? Because when I look at this passage of Scripture in Acts chapter 1, and you look at verse 6, and he's saying, when they'd come together, they were asking, saying, Lord, is it at this time you're restoring the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by His own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth. We look at this passage of Scripture and we think that's a missionary passage. No, it's the Christian life passage of Scripture. The Bible says that the power of God comes upon you and me when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ. When you came to Christ, you got the Spirit of God. Amen? Amen. You got the Spirit of God. And the Bible says it right here. You will receive power when that happens. And the thing that I struggled with is that we've got people in our lives and we've got folks that we minister to that just seem to fall by the wayside. Start strong, finish weak. And some of them don't even finish. And I ask the question, why? Because if the Christian life is supposed to be like this, I mean, that's Jesus' last words. The Spirit of God's going to come upon you and you're going to have the power of God all over your life. And matter of fact, that power is going to be so great that you're going to witness of my grace, of my mercy. You're going to testify of the great work of God from the cross 2,000 years ago and to the cross in your life 2,000 years later. Make no bones about it. This is not just for 12 disciples. This is for the church of the living God. And you are, if you're in Christ, the church of the living God. And the Bible says that you have this power in you to be the witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. When it says you shall receive power, it's a word in the Greek that we get our word dynamite from. It's dunamis. You'll receive this explosive, anointed, effective power of God in your life. I'm going to tell you this also. This is not just an option. This is a certainty. He says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Problem is we are looking for a kind of power with bells and whistles. And some of you had quiet conversions, okay? Some of you had conversions in your life that, not a whole lot of emotion took place. But I want to tell you, if you received Christ, you got the power of God to be His witness. Now, when Jesus is about to go to heaven, He tells His disciples this. Now, He'd been with them for 3 years, and He'd been teaching some very radical things. The Bible calls them the sound words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the sound words of the Lord Jesus Christ are powerful words of instruction for how His people are supposed to live. In other words, He gave the instruction on how to forgive. He said, listen, you're to forgive when you're wronged. When someone does something wrong to you, you are to release them of the debt. That's what Christians do. We forgive when wronged. And the Bible says, not only do we forgive them once, but we do it 70 times what?
70.
Boy, somebody's going to need that dynamite power to do that. Amen? Somebody's going to need the power of God to do what Jesus Christ asks us to do as a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, Witnesses forgive when they're wrong. That's what Jesus did for you. That's what Jesus did for me. I mean, Jesus is the witness that we are reflecting in this life. I look at passages of Scripture and I look at the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and His words. Not only that He said that we're to forgive when we're wrong, but we're to love when we're hated. Isn't that interesting? That's a radical thought, isn't it? Love those who hate you. Well, Jesus said, of course you do that because, listen, the pagan loves those who love them. The Bible says, no, not for you. You love your family, but I want to tell you, you love your friends. You love your enemies. Man, I want to tell you this. I'm going to need some radical, powerful power to be able to do that. Amen? Amen. To love my God and to love my enemy means that I have to have something greater that ever is in my life or in my heart. And that's why Jesus said, listen, the Spirit of God's going to come upon you and you're going to be my witnesses and you're going to receive this power. When Jesus taught, like, bless those who curse you. Speak a gentle word in the midst of an angry and wrathful words that are coming towards you. This is radical teaching. This is hard teaching. Our flesh does not want to do this. You're not going to need the power of God to do that. I mean, this is what it means to be a witness of Christ. Matter of fact, Jesus is asking us to do things that He Himself was willing to do and absolutely did. Did Jesus bless those who cursed Him? He absolutely. Did He forgive those who hated Him? Absolutely. Did He forgive when wrong? Absolutely. Did He love those who hated Him? Absolutely. He did these things. He did these things for you. He did these things for me. He spilt His life, He spilt His blood in order that the Spirit of God would come upon your life to empower you to do this. Jesus taught us to resist the enemy when the darts of temptation came our way. Jesus taught us to deny the world, the flesh, to embrace the kingdom and the Spirit. The Lord Jesus empowers us and instructs us to take this power of God, to lose our flesh, to lose our life, and to gain the Spirit of God to be the witness God's called us to be. I don't know about you, but I know about me. I need this power today. I need this power. And a lot of times we want to look for the emotion. A lot of times we want to look for the, like I said, the bells, the whistles, the spectacular things, when these very impossible things that God's asked us to do are only made possible by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be my witness that forgives when wrong, loves those who hate, blesses when he's cursed, gives gentle words when wrathful and angry words are coming their way. You shall be my witnesses. Question that I'm asking, though, in these days is, why aren't we seeing that in our lives? Why do we wake up sometimes and say, gosh, I just wish that I was doing better than I was doing before? Why am I still struggling with the same kind of sin? Why am I still struggling with the same kind of darkness? Why can't I forgive? Why does God bring these people my way, these same kind of people that just rub me the wrong way all the time? Why does God do these things, and why can't I get past that? Amen. Well, I'm going to tell you, you can get past it. Because of this power to be the witness of God. If He gives you the Spirit of God to be His witness, the question is, and if you've got the power of God, why aren't you using it? If you're not using it to do these things, you're denying the power of God. God talks about this, or Paul talks about this, the Holy Spirit talks about it through Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. I want you to notice that. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Holy Spirit comes upon you, gives you this power to be His witness, and I want to suggest to you some ways on how we deny the power and how we embrace this power to live it. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. Realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. Listen, there's nothing you can do about difficult times. They're going to come. They're here. There's nothing you can do about the economy. There's nothing you can do about circumstances. I mean, difficult times are going to come. And notice the difficult times he talks about. For men will be lovers of self. They will be lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And watch this. They hold to a form of godliness, but they've denied its power. There's a form of godliness. There's a form of righteousness. They know how to say the right things. They can do the right things at times. But there's an absolute total denial of the power of God. The very power that the Lord Jesus Christ gives to you and to me when we come to Christ. And I want to say this. This is real important. None of us are immune to this kind of lifestyle. None of us are. Every one of us has a propensity in the flesh to run to that which is not good. And if you'll run to that which is not good one time, you may do it again, and before you know it, you're swamped by the world. And you may have this propensity to be a lover of self, or to be a lover of money, or to be boastful or arrogant. Or maybe you are ungrateful, unholy. Maybe there are just things in your life that you just decide are irreconcilable. But the Bible says that these folks, when we walk this way, we hold to a form of godliness, righteousness, but we've denied the power. Now, if you deny the power of God, some of us have, you will never, ever grow in your faith. And I don't care if you go to Sunday school. I don't care if you go to church. I don't care if you tithe your tithes and you do it faithfully and you do all the right things and deny the power of God. How does that happen? I think there's a couple of things. Just over 30 years of ministry, watching people, looking at my own life. You know, there's a bunch of ways we deny the power. One of the ways that I want to talk to you about today is how we forget God. People who forget God deny the power of God. Go to 2 Peter, if you would. 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's just begin in verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Verse 3. Seeing that His divine power. See, Holy Spirit comes upon you, you receive His power. It's divine power. It's the power of God. It's supernatural power to do the things we've been talking about doing. And He says He's given you this divine power, has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. For by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now, notice the absolute total work of God. The divine power gives you everything you need according to godliness. Everything you need to forgive the person. Everything you need to withstand the dart of the enemy and the temptation of the enemy. Everything you need to be patient, to be kind, to be good. Everything you need to live a godly life. It's when the Holy Spirit came upon you. When you became a witness. This divine power has granted everything to you. He's also given you these magnificent promises. These precious and magnificent promises, so by them you may become partakers of the divine nature. And notice what you did, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now, for this very reason, apply all diligence in your faith. And in your faith, supply moral excellence. In your moral excellence, knowledge. In your knowledge, self-control. In self-control, perseverance. In your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. Now watch. If these qualities are yours, and what are they doing? Increasing. If these qualities are yours and increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9. For he who is lacking these qualities is blind, he is short-sighted, he has forgotten his purification from his former sins. He has forgotten what God has done for him. Somehow, we move along from conversion, we move along from deliverance, and somehow we forget what God's done. I deny the power of God to forgive somebody when I have forgotten that He Himself has forgiven me. How can we do that as believers? How can I walk in a critical spirit? It's because I've forgotten what Jesus Christ did for me. Every single time. We could do this with every sin, but I want to tell you, every time I fall and every time I mess up, it's because I have forgotten the work of my great God. There's another thing that we forget to do that I think is very important, that we have forgotten not only the purification from our former sins, but we have just forgotten to be grateful to God. We forget to be grateful, thankful for all that He's done. We forget to honor Him. We forget to thank Him. There's a scripture that's on the screen, Romans 1:21. 1:21. Even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God, nor did they give thanks. Now, what happened to those who knew God, who did not honor Him and did not give thanks to God? They became futile in their speculations. And their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Therefore, God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. God gave them over. Do you know that God will give you over to your sin? I mean, if you're living in sin, or if you've ever lived in sin, it's because God gave you over to it. God said, okay, you want to walk in sin and you want to continue to not submit to me, to submit to the ways of God, to the things of God? Okay, go on. Go on. The Bible says that that's the wrath of God. It is the wrath of God when people are walking in sin. And I think it's so interesting that Paul begins this slippery slope with an ungrateful heart to God. I have forgotten the purification from my former sins. Therefore, I'm forgetting to be grateful for all that God is and all that God has done. And I no longer honor Him. I don't honor Him with my life. I don't honor Him with my money. I don't honor Him with my gifts. I don't honor Him with my lips. And the Bible says that when that happens, you begin this walk in a different direction than you've ever wanted to go. When is the last time that you truly honored God for the great things that He's done in your life? When is the last time that you walked in such a spirit about you, such an understanding about the work of God, and that it was just, God, thank you for this. Thank you for that. I'm afraid that most of us are like children on Christmas morning that are opening this gift and we forget this one and we go to the next and we forget that when we go to the next. We forget that one. And then 3 days later, those toys are old. And it all begins when you stop thanking and honoring Him as your great God. This would happen to these folks in Romans. This would happen to these folks in 2 Timothy. This is what happens to you and to me. When we get our mind and our hearts off of God and His great work, trouble begins. Trouble begins. You can see it in your life. You can see it in your relationships. See it in your marriage. See it in all those places. That when your mind gets off of honoring God. And I would tell you, that's the warning that God gives you. That's the warning He gives in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Go on and turn there if you would. Deuteronomy chapter 8. God is giving the children of Israel a great gift. He's giving them a land. He's giving them a place to be a nation. And He says to them, actually in verse 6, therefore you shall keep the commandment of the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, to fear Him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains and springs, flowing forth in valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land where you will eat food without scarcity, in which you will not lack anything, a land whose stones are iron, and out of those hills you can dig copper. And when you have eaten and are satisfied, you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which He has given you. Now, I'm going to tell you, that is a picture, that is a type, that is a shadow of the Christian life. The Christian life is a good land. It is a good place to be. It is a type and shadow of what Jesus Christ comes to do in your life. And I don't want you just to think about this in physical terms, but think of it in spiritual terms. That God has done so much. God has done so much in my life. And then in verse 11, he says, "Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his word, his ordinances, his statutes, which I'm commanding you today. Otherwise, when you have eaten and are satisfied and have built good houses and lived in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and gold multiply and all that you have multiplies, then your heart will become proud, arrogant. And you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of, from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, how he led you all these years." What? That sounds like Romans 1, doesn't it? We don't honor him. We don't thank him. We become arrogant. We exchange the truth for the lie. We exchange the worship of God from God to the glory of God to something else other than him. It's because we've forgotten. I want to ask you the question, are you a person that has forgotten what God has done for you? You may look at your life and you say, why is my life not progressing in Christ? Why am I still doing the same old things that I've always been doing? Why am I still struggling with this same struggle, with this same sin, with this same worry, with this same fear? Why am I doing this? Well, maybe you've just forgotten what God's done in your life. Because I know when I remember, it is a testimony. It is a witness of the power of God that says if he did it then, he desires to do it now. Don't forget God. If you've forgotten him, if you've walked away from him, it's time to start remembering. It is time to start remembering what God has done in your life. Don't forget God. Don't forget him. Second thing, how do we deny the power? We not only forget him, but I think sometimes we walk in unbelief. There's a little scripture in Hebrews chapter 4, it's verse 3. It's in the middle of a great passage of scripture. But this is what it says, "For we who have believed enter that rest." What does that mean? Well, first of all, it does have a picture of salvation to it. Moving into the rest of God. But you know, I've been thinking about it as how it applies to my life on a daily basis. You know, we live in an age, in a society today, that we don't find a whole lot of rest, physically and spiritually and emotionally. The Bible says, when you believe, you enter into his rest. That's what the Bible says. When I think about the power of God to be his witnesses, I believe that we, a group of witnesses, are a group of restful people. Because they're believing and they're entering into God's rest. And I think about it in a whole lot of different ways, but I want to look at it in the way of money today, because we all struggle with money. I mean, we all do. Most of us struggle with money. Bible says, listen, if you believe, you'll enter his rest. If you believe all the precious and magnificent promises that he has to say about money and his provision, you will enter into a rest concerning your money, your financial position. We who believe enter into his rest. If you're sick, if you have this ongoing chronic problem, and you're worried about it, and you're anxious about it, and all those things, well, listen, if you will look at the magnificent promises of God, of his healing power, of his comfort, of his presence, and you believe that word about that, you will enter his rest. I can't tell you how many people that I have known in my life who have had conditions that were horrible but yet had the rest of God all over them. And they might be on their deathbed, but they had God's rest. They had God's peace upon their lives. Why? It's because they believed. And they believed and they took their faith and they applied it to that situation in their life and they entered into God's rest. And I think we deny the power of God that God wants to give us, whether it's our money or whether it's our health or whatever else it is. He desires for you and I to enter into his rest concerning those circumstances. If you don't believe, you won't enter his rest. And I want to tell you, you will stop following God in those areas. You will not grow. You will not move on with God. You will not move to the next glory. Because not only have you forgotten God, but you also have not, you've just not believed in that area. What am I suggesting to you at this moment? I'm suggesting to you that if there is a struggle in your life, and we're talking about not moving on with God and not being where you need to be in some areas, could it be the possibility that you're not believing the promises of God. You know, there's a third reason why I believe that people don't grow in their faith and they fall away, and that is they no longer treasure Christ above all else. I think this is the most important thing. Jesus is not their most important treasure. Something else is. They value their flesh, their carton. They value their sin. Some people value their sin more. They walk in sin in absolute total disregard to what Christ calls them to. They no longer treasure Christ above all. There's a passage of Scripture. It's Matthew 13, verse 44. It says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid again. And from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has, and he buys that field." He also says it's like, "The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And upon finding one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and he bought it." That's what he says this kingdom of God is all about. And I want to tell you, most people lose the value of the pearl of great price. It's something else other than God. And when you have something else other than God that you love more, that you value more, you will not grow in your faith. Listen, He is the pearl of great price. Most of us fall. Most of us walk into sin because we don't value God anymore like we're supposed to value Him in His Word. Listen, it could be anything, and it could be good things, and it could be things that we're supposed to be doing. But when I find people and I find my life not valuing Christ anymore, I'm on my way down to the pit. And sometimes I find myself in that pit because I've not honored Him as God. I've not thanked Him as God. I've forgotten the things that He's done for me. And I no longer value Him as I should. I want you to bow with me in prayer. Would you do that? You know, it troubles me. It troubles me to see my own journey slowed down, sometimes stopped, because I've forgotten what God's done. Or I walk in some sort of unbelief. And what's so sad about it is that when you received the Holy Spirit, He gave you the power to be that kind of witness. "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon me to be my witnesses, to do the impossible things that God has called us to do, that God has blessed us to do." And I just want to ask you right now, in the name of Jesus, what are those things? What are those things? And I ask that you would move in such a way this day, this moment, to make the appropriate attitude adjustments and changes right now to believe your great God, to believe the precious, magnificent promises about what you're so worried and concerned about, that you would not forget Him and that He would be the centerpiece of your life. He would be the one that you value more than anything else in this life. And often what that means, my friends, is that you've got to repent. You've got to realize and say, "I've been wrong in the way I've been thinking. I've been wrong in the way I've been living. And I've had the wrong attitude about this situation, these circumstances. And God, I'm asking You to forgive me right now. And I'm asking You to lead me. Oh God, I bow to Your Lordship today. You're the most valuable, principal person, place, thing in my life. And I want to live like that, Lord. You're the pearl of great price. You're the treasure hidden in the field, and I'm willing to give it all just for You."
Mike Fritcher is the pastor of Cottonwood Baptist Church near Dublin, Texas. If you would like to hear this broadcast or any other sermons from our audio library, or if you feel led to support this ministry, please visit us online at livingoneveryword.org.